Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
I grew up with two parents with chronic pain issues, and my father suffered greatly and still does from back pain. So I was so thrilled when I read the wonderful book, The End of Back Pain, by our guest now, Dr. Patrick Roth. Hello, Dr. Roth. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, one of the things that I thought was so interesting is in your book, you actually talk about when you're in pain, you can still do some exercises where a lot of people tend to say, I'm in pain, I'm not going to do anything. Talk to us about that, because that's I haven't heard it mentioned like that before.
I think people, our culture certainly makes pain seem like the representation of something broken or wrong. And the reality is that most of the time it doesn't represent something broken or something wrong, but more should be thought of as just part of life. And in fact, when people are active, whether it be just resuming activities of daily living or trying to walk or even trying to exercise their backs, they end up getting more relief than more pain. Sometimes at first they get more pain, but ultimately they get more relief.
Now, is that because they're loosening up the muscles, or it's helping with maybe even emotionally or mentally to be moving again?
Well, definitely both. I mean, what's interesting is, first of all, what's actually causing the back pain is very, very hard to elucidate. So people think, well, just get an MRI, and the MRI will tell me exactly why I have pain. But the reality is that we don't know what causes pain most of the time, even when we look with MRI. And so, for example, muscle can cause pain. And when you use muscle, you bring blood supply to it, you heat it up, oftentimes you make it better. You also mentioned an emotional source. Well, part of pain is being afraid of things, and when you change your emotional status a little bit, you lose your fear of pain, you actually convince your body not to feel the pain as much.
Well, the emotional component is a huge factor in any pain, I guess, anywhere in our body. Would you say that where the pain is on our back can reflect different types of emotions that are going on?
I'm not sure, but it can be. I think it's better to look at it as an endpoint for many different emotions. You know, people have talked about, you know, stress. If you have a bad back and you feel stress or anger or fear, it has a way of finding its way to that spot on your back that's your vulnerable spot. For some people, it's the lower back. For some people, it's the neck. Some people get ulcers. So there's different somatic manifestations of these underlying emotions, but back pain is a real common one.
What are some things that people can do to help alleviate their pain?
Well, I think the most important thing is to recognize that the vast majority of pain does not represent an underlying injury or something broken that needs to be fixed. The second thing is that education and confidence, something the psychologists call self-efficacy, or this belief that you can overcome it, is huge in terms of overcoming pain. Education is also big. Like, if you have any medical condition, I don't care what it is, the more you learn about it, the better off you'll do. And with back pain specifically, one of the best things you can do is to start exercising. You know, if you're in terrible pain and you can't do it, fine, you take a day or two off. But as soon as, or even before you think you can, you start to exercise, you'll find that, number one, the pain will often get better. And number two, probably more importantly, by getting yourself stronger, in particular your core, you will diminish the frequency, the intensity, and the duration of your subsequent exacerbations.
I was about to ask you about the hidden core, which you talk about in the book. Talk to us about that and how that plays a role in treating your back pain.
But the reason I call it hidden is because most people's concept of the core is the abdominal muscles. And there's this sort of pervasive idea that when you have back pain, or if you want to prevent back pain, you do sit-ups. And although that's right, if done in isolation, you're really depriving yourself of the optimal treatment. It turns out that, you know, when people think of core, they look in the mirror, they look at their bellies, and they don't like what they see, and so they attack it by doing as many sit-ups as they can. But I think it's better to think of the core as a circumferential, or, you know, surrounding structures of muscle that are in the front, the back, and the middle. And the ones that are probably most important are the ones that are least understood and least focused on, which are these muscles that line your back. And they're called the multifidus muscles, among others. And these muscles have tremendous capacity to shield pain. So, for example, if you have very, very strong multifidus muscles, you can actually bend over without bending your back. And the way you do that is by hip hinging. And that's one of the things, it's very hard to demonstrate this over the radio, but you can, if you look at the book, or you, if you just look up hip hinging, you'll see that you can bend at the hips, not the back. But you can only do that when you have strong back muscles that can lock your back into place. And so that is the key in terms of the core to reducing back pain.
And what's the best way to strengthen those muscles?
There's a lot of ways, but I think the best way to do it is to start isometrically, meaning to do strengthening exercises that don't cause your back to go through a range of motion. So there's an exercise called the bird dog, which is great at that. It's an exercise when you're on your hands and your knees and you alternate sticking out your arm and your contralateral leg at the same time. That causes these multifidus muscles to fire, and then in an isometric way, so you're not moving your back. Once you've gotten some baseline strength, you can do things which are unimaginable to people with back pain, which include doing deadlifts or squats. You take your average back pain sufferer, they are 100% convinced that they can't do a squat or a deadlift, that it will trigger their back pain. But if you build up into it by starting with isometric stuff, simple stuff, and build up, you can. And when you start doing it, you will quickly realize that your back will actually be stronger and you'll have less pain.
What role does inflammation play in all of this?
Well, that's a great question. You know, inflammation is such a strange beast. Because to the average patient, and inflammation happens all the time. But what's right. So strange about inflammation is it doesn't necessarily happen right after the triggering event. So as a patient has inflammation in their back and they're searching, what did I do the last day? Maybe they can't find something. It may have been a week beforehand. So inflammation kind of takes a while to build up and get ramped up. It lasts for a certain amount of time, then it ramps down, but there isn't necessarily a correlation with when you can't figure out when you did the thing that inflamed it. For the most part, it's a self-limiting process. But one thing is important, and it gets back to what we said before. We used to think that the best way to prevent or to deal with inflammation was to stop moving the joint or the structure that's inflamed. We've changed our minds in the medical field quite a bit about that. And we now think the best thing to do is to strengthen the muscles that support that structure that's inflamed. So, for example, if you have an inflamed elbow, you strengthen your biceps and your triceps, which are the two muscles that may stabilize the elbow, make them both strong, and you'll actually reduce the motion of the elbow and the inflammation. So it's kind of counterintuitive. You strengthen the muscles around it to reduce the inflammation rather than just leave it alone.
Now, what about things like acupuncture or massage or chiropractic? Where do those fit in?
Well, they're all great short-term solutions to pain. So, for example, acupuncture has been around for thousands of years. It definitely works in a percentage of people. But what I found, mostly it's a great temporary pain reliever. So you get it, you feel great when you leave there. By the next day, the pain is back. Because really, I think acupuncture and chiropractic, to some degree, work on the secondary parts of back pain. So, for example, you may have a stimulus somewhere in your back that's causing back pain. You get muscle spasms. Chiropractors are
Thank
fantastic.
You, Dr. Roth. I agree. I'm with you on that. But unfortunately, we're out of time today. But we appreciate you being on our show. And you can learn more about Dr. Roth at patrickrothmd.com. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy.